CliffCentral.com.
This morning, the burning platform, as always, we have Pumi Mashiko, who is ready to tackle just about any subject. Sure, we had a nice conversation last week with Canthan, and it was good to see him again. Pums has got her best, shiniest golden earphones on for the burning platform. Looking fantastic. And we're also joined this morning by Solly Moeng, who's no stranger to the burning platform. Hey, Solly, how are you?
Hey, hello, Pumi. Hello, Karev. I'm so
hello, Tata Solly.
Solly.
Solly, me Pumi.
I've had you on the TV show and I've had you on the burning platform before, and you've got that beautiful painting in the background. Do you want to tell us about that? Because I'm too curious now to not know what it is before we get into all the deranged craziness of current affairs.
This painting,
yeah,
it depicts African women in a marketplace, but I inherited it from a German friend of mine who got it from a marketplace and decided to leave South Africa last day because it was really calm. And he said, you know what, Solly, I'm going to leave you with a piece of your own Africa. And this is it.
It's beautiful.
So it's a beautiful painting.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. Now, I've seen it before. That's why I decided we needed to talk about it this morning. Okay, guys, there's just nothing to talk about because, of course, we live in a very boring place where really there's no news. No politicians ever do anything wrong. It all runs like well-oiled machinery. There's plenty of electricity. There's plenty of government service delivery. So I really don't know what we're going to talk about this morning.
No insurgencies.
None of that stuff.
No.
So let's start with Zweli Mkhize. I'm glad you brought him up because we've already discussed him at some length in the headlines this morning. But there's new evidence emerging now, and this seems to be a pattern in the ANC. And for those people who are surprised by this, and you know, the only person really who's ever surprised by anything seems to be Cyril. He's always shocked and surprised. I wonder if he's sitting in his office now at the Union Buildings. Maybe it's too early. I don't know. But he's maybe sitting there going, oh, you mean Zweli Mkhize's family benefited from the digital vibes tendered? How's that possible? This is an ANC.
No, he's on his morning walk right now. This is at that point where he's pondering the happenings of the day, where the shock actually sits.
That's where the shock comes in. Okay, so Solly and Pumi, this is the ANC's modus operandi. The ANC's members see government as a way to make themselves and their families a whole lot of money without earning it properly. This is the best way to make some serious cash. And Zweli Mkhize is really just the tip of the iceberg. This is a standard model for almost everybody who's had their fingers in the till, don't you think?
It is indeed. I think that the ANC has also mastered the art of knowing that South Africans forget very quickly when they pretend something hasn't happened. Because there's so much happening in South Africa all the time, we forget that something has happened. We fail to connect the dots. The ANC also knows that South Africans just don't connect the dots. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense for a president who's fighting against corruption to be sitting with a minister who stole, because all evidence went to him having enabled and benefited $100 million rent. It's a lot of money. Can you imagine the opportunity cost? What you could do with that money? You know, I'm sure that if I went to Ramaphosa, I would say, dude, I'm sorry, you need to go. You're really messing up my program here. I would tell him to go. Why is it so hard? All ministers serve at the pleasure of the president.
Right.
Nobody else. What pleasure is Ramaphosa getting from this?
Yes, but 150 million, as Pumi and I were talking about earlier, isn't that much money when there are big, big tenders for hundreds more millions that are going around every day, and we know how much is being stolen there. I mean, it almost feels like he's being used as a bit of a scapegoat, Zweli Mkhize, but I'm certainly not trying to fight his case for him. You know, corruption is corruption, whether it's 5 rand or whether it's 500,000 rand. To me,
Gareth,
it's the same.
Before we move on, any way that you can work your magic with levels for Solly's mic?
Solly, is there a different way we can do your sound? Because those headphones that you're wearing, it's very muffled. It's not so much a loudness or a softness thing. But I agree with you. Let's see if we can figure that out. I see, by the way, that a lot of people asking about Andrew Cuomo in New York, who looks like he's in the firing line. You know, we'll get to that just now. But Pums, do you want to add anything on this Zweli Mkhize story while we sort out Sully's sound?
You know, I mean, when Solly comes back on, because he's in reputation management, one of the things I'm most interested about is how do you manage this reputational blow? I mean, for a very long time, and you've heard me say this before.
Right.
So Zweli Mkhize's corruption or corrupt dealings and the Smolanyana skeletons in Zweli Mkhize's closet have always been confined to within the ANC and within KZN. They weren't national news.
Yes.
I mean, I think for people in KZN and people within the ANC, they're not as surprised as the rest of the country is. So, you know, how this reputational damage then, how does that bode, Solly, in your professional opinion?
Let's just test your sound.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. It's a little bit better. Let me just see. Just talk for us for a little bit.
1, 2, 1, 2. Are you able to hear me?
It's still. You know what, Solly? If you unplug your headphones completely and we just use the laptop or iPad that you're using.
Okay. How about this? Is this better?
Actually, wherever you had the plug in for the headphones, unplug that.
I've taken it out.
Okay. So let's just see now.
No, I'm thinking without the mic.
Don't know if that's going to help very much.
Is this better?
I'm going to ask Simpiwe. Okay. I'm just going to ask Simpiwe to try and sort that out with you so that we can test it offline, because otherwise we're going to struggle here. Simpiwe, if you can just get Solly on the line and see if you could sort that out, please.
Because, you know, Zweli is still a politician and he still has a long career.
Yeah.
In his mind, at least.
Yes, of course.
Of politics, and also just in terms of the ANC's succession, you know. So how can he come back from under this? The evidence is there.
Well,
we all know it's happened. And the evidence is so blatant. I think the one thing, we spoke about social media being a cult earlier. The greatest thing about social media for us here in South Africa is that we don't need lifestyle audits. It's all out there for all to see. You know, they are unable to not even flaunt their thieving ways to all of us. You know, Zweli Mkhize's son and wife are all over social media with their new nail salon and this and that. And,
right.
You know, the money trail is clear.
But in some ways,
we all get to see it.
I mean, Pums, isn't that great that we live at a time where people are so stupid that they incriminate themselves? I mean, we know, for example, Ace Magashule's kids as well. They've been posting stuff about their cars and about their lavish lifestyles. And these guys can't help it. They can't help it because they live in a bubble with a bunch of other rich people who have benefited enormously from public money. And they can't help but boast about it. And we're going to find out. And SARS are going to find out. And hopefully this is the way that we eventually shut these people down. Because they cannot keep quiet about their spending. They cannot. I went to lunch yesterday. I said to you where I ate the steak, right? And I went for lunch at Waterfall, you know, in Midrand, which is, it is like the capital of conspicuous consumption in South Africa. It's moved out of Sandton and moved to there. There are restaurants there, and there was this one woman sitting there in what looked like a tinfoil space suit. It's the only way I can describe it.
Oh, wow.
It was one of these shiny anorak jackets, but it looked like it had been built to reflect the sun from the moon's surface or you know, or the mission to Mars or something. And this woman was decked out like you cannot believe. The sunglasses must have cost 4,000 to 5,000 rand. The shoes must have cost well into the 30,000-40,000 rand mark. She had a bag there that was bedecked in gold and covered in branding, and long nails. And she was sipping on, and this is at lunchtime, she was sipping on really expensive champagne. And I thought, you know, this person, I can just tell it at a glance that this is someone who has not earned the money. She may have a very rich husband who's earned the money. She may have started to benefit from some I don't know,
cryptocurrency. Account.
It's possible, but the chances that she actually made that money, based on how she's flashing it, it's very, very slim that she actually made that money herself. And I looked at this and I thought, Zweli Mkhize's kid, Zweli Mkhize's wife, Ace Magashule's children, and so many other people who, you know, they've without any shame will drive a Bugatti around Johannesburg, and they think we're not going to know that money is stolen money. There's no reason a minister could ever have that kind of money if it wasn't stolen.
Nomvula in her Aston Martin. But here's the thing, right? So we know that within the, and it's not just the ANC, right? It's not just the ANC. Yesterday, the SIU took out a map of the country to show where the looting of the funds, of the health funds that were for Corona, how it's been spread out over South Africa. So if the only province that has none, no cases at the moment, is the Northern Cape, possibly because there are very few people there anyway, right?
Yeah, there's no one in the Northern Cape.
But every single province in this country has had some form of irregular expenditure around that. But we know. So we know that the ANC doesn't care. We know that they're not going to hold them accountable. We hope that there is some kind of independence in the NPA, in the judiciary, that they will be able to hold them accountable.
Right.
But the chances, we've not seen that, right? So we've not seen Shamila Badohi's like difference coming in.
No,
at
she's
the
made
NPA.
No difference.
So she's also hamstrung over there. So we have to hold them accountable. And I hope that that's what people are currently doing, is they're looking at their viable alternatives, so that when you walk into that ballot box, you can, with all consciousness, go, these people stand for the things that I believe South Africa needs, and vote them out. That's how we're going to hold them accountable. We've got to vote the thieves out of power. We've got to vote them out of
power.
Well,
if they give us our elections in October, because the IEC is trying to kick that can down the road. They're trying to move the election and postpone them. So who knows? I'm going to
try. And this is where Cyril Ramaphosa is very dangerous.
No, of course.
This is where he's dangerous. It serves him. He's a dictator, guys. He's actually a dictator now. Because if that is allowed to happen, if that is allowed to happen at this point where the elections are moved, then we are in real trouble. And this is, it's just quietly allowing this to happen, just quietly kind of,
You've been
what
very
are they
consistent.
Taking it to the Constitutional Court for? The court, you studied law. What is the court supposed to do? The court is supposed to be an arbiter in disputes. What's the dispute about? The country wants elections.
Yeah.
The minister has given the date for the elections. Who is the IEC in dispute with that they have to take this to court?
Let's just try and get Solly back on. Hey, Solly.
This is so frustrating, but I've been listening to everything you've been saying.
Is it a bit better? Because I can't really tell.
Slightly better.
Okay. All right, Solly, let's. So I'm just going to reintroduce you, just in case people don't know. Solly Moeng is an old hand at the Burning Platform, but he's also the founder of Don Valley Reputation Managers, as well as a freelance writer and a columnist. And he's in reputation management. And Pumi was asking, and maybe this is where we can pick up with you again, Solly, is to just ask whether you think someone like Zulim Khize, where you think he's in any way rehabilitatable, whether you can bring him back from the dead, because really his reputation is shot now. And for good or for bad, whether he's the worst person in the ANC or just one of the bad people in the ANC, I think his political career is over. At one stage, he was even a candidate for president of the ANC. I don't know if that's possible anymore, or do the ANC care so little about reputation that you can come back like Tony Yengeni did? I mean, he's in charge of the ethics committee, for heaven's sake. What do you think?
I'm not loving it. It's painful. It really, really is painful. I think that, I also get worried when you say maybe 150 million banks not get out of money. We've normalized the abnormal. That's a problem. When you get hit all the time, and one day the person doesn't hit you, you just, maybe push your nose, whatever. You normalize abuse to the extent that everything goes. And this is where we are at. 5 million rand is a lot of money, okay? Give me 5 million rand, send me into any township to make a difference with it, into any improvised area. 5 million rand, I would make a lot of difference. So we need to punish these people. There's no such thing as he stole little, he didn't steal little. Ramaphosa must get rid of this man. If he really wants to be a leader of South Africa, not just a leader of the ANC, he needs to get rid of this man and many others who are still in the system.
Yeah.
What about Ramaphosa's reputation? I mean, when he came, a lot of people, there was Ramaphoria, you know? And you don't hear it talking about Tumamina anymore. has his reputation taken such a knock that, you know, in coming elections is going to see him lose some ground?
I describe Ramaphosa as if you have a bucket filled with dirty shirts. He's the least dirty, and you need to go to an interview. You look for the shirt that you can wear that's more or less okay. That's the one you better pick up. The thing is,
he's the least dirty shirt of all the shirts.
Well, you know what? The thing is, he's also the shirt that's he's standing between Salavika and Armageddon. We must acknowledge that. If Ramaphosa goes, in the tradition of the African National Congress, Mabuza is going to take over. And when that man takes over, he's the man who's going to receive the report from the Zondo Commission with all the recommendations. Do you think he's going to do anything about it? No. If I can give credit to Ramaphosa for anything, it's that he has not interfered with the law, with the criminal justice system. That is, there's no evidence that he has. But Mabuza would probably say, you know what?
So hang on, Solly. Basically, you're one of those people who says that Cyril is the best of the worst. So in other words, I'm just paraphrasing you here, but we have to have him because if he goes, we're going to be left with Didi Mabuza, and that's much, much worse. Pumi, you pulled a face. I mean, what does that mean to you? Is that settling for less? Is that the best we can do?
Well, interestingly, Solly, what you're saying sounds to me like you're saying we have no alternative. It's we have to deal with whatever the ANC serves us. Surely we have alternatives. What about any of the other parties? You're saying he is the only one standing between us and Didi and the chaos that is Didi.
No, the ANC must be out. You know that the ANC is like an old power station that has reached its end life. It must be decommissioned. It should have been decommissioned long ago. But I'm saying until the next elections, Ramaphosa is the least of the shirt. You can't replace Ramaphosa. So we need to hope Ramaphosa stay on until we vote him and his party out of power. We don't want the ANC.
So can we survive?
The ANC is there for South Africa.
So can we survive long enough? I mean, if we have to wait for Cyril,
we don't have a choice. Look, either we call for a coup d'etat, which is not going to happen, which we shouldn't call, of course. But the only thing, if we want to remain democratic, is to hope that South Africans will wake up when we go to elections and they kick the ANC out of power. They have to kick the ANC out of power. Otherwise, it's going to get worse and worse. This levels of impunity and arrogance in the ANC sectors are massive. And there are people waiting for their turn to eat. They don't care about you and me. So we don't have a choice until the next elections. We can't. There's no other way that we can kick the ANC out. It's the democratically elected party in power, unfortunately.
Right.
But we have to wait for it.
All right, so let's talk. You Pumi brought up the looting while we were waiting to get Solly back on. So what I wanted to do was just talk about this looting now, because we've got a couple of weeks of hindsight now, and that gives us a little bit more clarity. And a lot of people are actually talking to the looters, and they're asking these people who were really opportunistic criminals. You know, I mean, we all know that it's wrong to do that. Even they know it's wrong to do that. In many situations, these people have been tracked down. The police are taking those goods back from them. God alone knows what the police are doing with them, probably keeping them for the police. But the fact is, a lot of these people said, you know what, I was swept up in the crazy mob, and I know it's unacceptable, and I'm embarrassed about my behavior. I've seen some of these interviews. And we can't really do much more than take back these things from the looters, and then in the cases where, you know, we can find out what's been going on, make them pay the prices that the law allows us to make them pay. But the real problems here seem to be around these mastermind people who, you know, put the whole plan into action, these guys who were going to attack the infrastructure. And we've been led to believe by people in politics that there are these very, very clever people in the Zuma camp, or people who just want to bring disorder and chaos to South Africa. I think it's a bit of a smokescreen. But do you think there's some credibility to that argument, Pumi and Solly?
There's an actual number now.
Yeah, they say 12.
We've been told by Cyril Ramaphosa that there are 12.
Yeah.
12 people like Jesus' disciples who are responsible for this.
Mm. Do you believe it?
I think we're being taken for a ride. First of all, we've seen Zuma's adult kids instigating, telling people to go on and do this thing. Edward was one of them. Duduzani, Duduzi, all those, they are not mentioned, all right? The ANPA also keep going on about wanting to bring the Guptas from Dubai, but their partner, their key partner here in South Africa is Sithu Sani. He keeps coming and going around telling everybody that he's going to be the next president of South Africa and the ANC. Why are they not going after Sithu Sani and his sister and Edward, who are clear instigators of what happened over the past 2 weeks? I mean, you know, this whole thing that of turning South Africa into an animal farm, a whaling animal farm, where some people can be touched, others cannot be touched, it's nonsense. It needs to stop. I mean, we're not fools. If they know who instigated the violence, we all know them. They must go after these guys too. Sithu Sani is allowed to walk around, to prance around like a prince.
You know,
he was the guy who was working with the Guptas, okay, who allowed everything to happen.
Yeah.
The money that he's spending in Dubai, the luxury apartment, apparently 18 million rand that he lives in, where did he get it from? From the Gupta business.
All so, right? Sully,
this world is still gotten wealth.
You're not the first person to say this about Dudu Zani Zuma. I mean, I heard one night, the TV was on, which doesn't happen often, and it was on SABC News, and Peter Ndora was busy interviewing somebody, and he interviewed Frank Chikane, who's not by any stretch of the imagination like a huge, you know, antagonistic and angry and controversial character. I mean, Frank Chikane is the guy who kind of held the Thabo Mbeki presidency together like glue. He was a very, very smart man, and I think very few people would call him a radical or anything. He was on SABC News 2 weeks ago when we were just coming out of these riots and looting. And he was saying, arrest Jacob Zuma's children. That's what he said. Pretty much the same thing you've said now. Those three that you named, Duduzile and Duduzane, the twins, and then Edward, have been instigating in plain sight on television and in any other medium that they could. I see some of them have been temporarily suspended and banned from Twitter, and I think that that's a good thing because those social media shouldn't be used for the purposes of insurrections. I mean, that's what America said anyway when they stormed the Capitol on January 6th. So we've got to apply a standard across the board. And this is not a hard thing to achieve, right?
No, no.
Pums, what do you think? Do you make any sense of this 12 disciples, these 12 bad people? You said it just now very dismissively.
It's not dismissive. It's simply what we are seeing. And we've had two cases of come before magistrates courts, obviously, because also all these cases have to go through the system. They have to snake through the system and they have to start at the magistrates court. So we've got two guys that have come in front of magistrates about bail applications.
Right.
The one is Ngizwe Mthunu, who was, you know, very Insta-famous, I think it is, talking. And the magistrate, because here's the thing, though, about the law as well, is that in court, it is the duty of the prosecutor to put the case without reasonable doubt to show the magistrate, and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for any of the prosecutors to prove beyond doubt that there was instigation and that the instigation was specifically towards insurrection. I think that they've chosen a weak case. There was something else that they could have chosen to charge these people with. And that's why they were given bail. And they were given like pittance for bail, like 5,000 rands is the bail that they were given. I don't know if we're going to see. I don't know who the other 10. I don't even know if these two are part of the 12 that is kind of touted, because we have no names. We don't know who they are.
Well,
we don't know when they're going to be charged, when they're going to appear. We just know that the intelligence says there were these 12 people. And as I said to you last week, I don't see it. I don't see the organized, clever kind of person. The people that they've brought in front of us are not
smart,
that organized,
no.
That clever.
No.
That they were able to organize something across such a big stretch of South Africa with so many different people. There's a lot more going on than what we're seeing in front of us.
Also, yeah. Pumi and Sully, I mean, this strikes me as a convenient thing. You know what happens whenever there's an insurrection, and I'm using this term very loosely. It does give the government in power all kinds of wide and sweeping abilities to be able to turn on their actual enemies. And while we know that this is at the moment, it's an ANC internal battle, but it could very well spill over into other places. And, you know, this is where we talk about elections being postponed and this kind of thing, which is convenient for the ANC. I don't know that those Cyril Ramaphosa fans who write in all the mainstream media publications in this country, and they all are still Cyril fans. I mean, News 24 cannot be brought to criticize the president, no matter what you do. I read an interesting Daily Maverick article the other day about these insurrections and about the Twitter accounts that are all linked that kind of point to some sort of campaign, but it's really not an impressive thing. And even though the Daily Maverick tries to explain the reach and the power of these various Twitter accounts, if that is all you've got in terms of evidence, then you haven't got a lot.
Not enough.
It's a weak case. It's a really weak case. I think this was just an opportunity, and yeah, it'll happen again when Jacob Zuma is next going to appear, or when he's released. You know, this is something so predictable. And again, our intelligence business, which we spoke about last week with Canthan, that should have been a little bit more on the ball to be able to predict these things. This is an obvious one. Everybody was aware that there was going to be something around Jacob Zuma having to go to jail. How could we have ignored this?
So the fascinating thing for me is watching how the other political parties in the space have not stepped up, because this is the perfect opportunity. The ANC has completely fallen apart. How do you, because they're competitors, right? So in any environment, if Coca-Cola is fumbling, Pepsi-Cola will make a play for that market. You know, if Apple is fumbling, Samsung makes a play for that market. And we don't see that. We don't see the other brands, as it were, or other parties make a play for this market. No one is stepping in and showing the leadership that we need, or even giving people alternatives. You know, I saw a comment in one of the comments earlier saying, better the devil we know. And that for me is what is even more worrying, saying nobody is stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, but that's kind of what Sully's saying too when it comes to Cyril, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best of a bunch of bad options. So, okay, what do you guys see the opposition politics looking like? Because we have discussed this, but we haven't discussed it nearly as much as the ANC. And I'm always worried about the Burning Platform becoming just a bitch session about the ANC. So let's just talk a little bit. The EFF, you know, someone made a very good point. Someone made a very good point to me about the EFF the other day. You know that they do not have the majority in any single ward in any part of South Africa. They don't have one ward, the EFF, and their numbers, if anything, have dropped over the last couple of months rather than gone up. They've been largely absent from any discussions around anything except keeping the lockdowns in place. They don't have any ideas. Their own support systems seem to be failing, or at least going backwards. And they can't make a fuss out of all the bullshit that they used to make a fuss out of. So what's the future of the EFF?
I think a lot of people are waking up to the lie that is Malema. And the EFF is largely a one-issue political party. The DA is no longer ambitious enough to want to replace the ANC because they know they can't. They've lost their numbers as well. So what we need in Salah is a party that will come and address all issues, not just one issue. You can't take over from the ANC by just being angry at one thing, which is what the EFF is about. And Malema, the more he speaks, the less credible he is. He's not as exciting as he used to be. He's just one angry man, apparently running around with unresolved childhood anger issues.
And there's murmurings now. Look, there's murmurings now of the VPS case finally going to court. Mm-hmm. That's going to do further damage. I think it's one of the things that has served to neutralize the EFF really is the story of VPS and their involvement in that story. And with the murmurings that it's finally going to come to court, I think there's going to be some seriously explosive revelations there that are going to hurt them even further.
Yeah, I believe there is appetite in the middle of South Africa for a new party. I really believe so. It's not there yet. Maybe a lot of things are happening behind the scenes, but South Africans in the middle need to be brought together by something that was, we are all together, we all belong together, we can still make this country a winning nation. That party is not there. It's not the DA, it is definitely not the EFF. People have to wake up. There's a need to rally South Africans again.
Well,
we do have to recognize, though, that one of the things the DA did do, Don Steyanesen, and I saw that they'll be having some kind of Facebook Live in the next couple of days. I think it's tomorrow. Don Steyanesen did make a play, and he did show up on the ground in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in Phoenix, and the poster that I saw of his address, his Facebook address, is about what their findings are, what they're doing, I suppose, on the ground. But here again, for me, I think that where they're being let down is they're being let down by the fact that they remain and they keep making the noises that say to us, you know, we actually are this party that cares about what we care about, and we don't really care about you. We don't really care about the lot of you or the most of you.
Yeah,
we care about a small...
Sorry, Pums. Yes, I saw a really interesting article about this the other day, and I think the DA's chief challenge is actually that John Steyanesen is not very well known. They did a poll after the looting, and they said to South Africans, you know, who do you think has done a good job? Who do you think has done a bad job? What do you know about these people? There's huge recognition of, and as reputation people, you know, you and Solly will understand this. There's massive name recognition and face recognition for Cyril, for Julius. There isn't that for John Steyanesen. Now, I don't think he's doing a horrible job in the DA. I don't think that the DA are necessarily putting out the wrong messaging, but they're just not as powerful a brand at the moment. And I think when it comes to brands, the DA may have some legacy power in it, you know, the stuff that they tried to do with Helen and Musi and company when they were riding high. But the fact is that John Steyanesen, even though, you know, he may be a very good politician, he may be a smart guy, he may have all the best intentions in the world, people just don't know him. And that's really their biggest challenge. And it's not my opinion. That's what it says in the polls.
It's not even so much that they don't know John Steyanesen, but it's the fact that the people they do know coming out of the DA and their positions and the things they say. You know, so Helen Zille is actually a reputational risk to the DA because of the number of things that she says, the way she says it. I mean, the article, well, was it an article? I think it was carried in News 24, but it was really a very long Facebook post, which completely infantilizes not just Jacob Zuma, but the black voter in terms of the way that she sees it and sees them and the decision making, right? Then you have Tony Leon coming out and saying one of their biggest draw cards, Musi Maimane, was actually a failed experiment. So now, you know, all of those noises are what takes away the opportunity that they have of gaining in the market,
hey,
because then
Steyanesen is the good guy. He really means well. He's a good politician, but he lacks the gravitas that he needs to attract people. And I think there's also a suspicion that he is remote controlled by Helen Zille. People fear that whatever he says, and he's made it clear in the past that, you know, he appreciates and respects him. I'm not saying he shouldn't. But the thing is, there's also that suspicion over Zille. The minute you put a leader of the DA who seems to be too close to her, you end up with the kind of suspicion that people have over him. I don't think that he's a bad guy. I just think he lacks the voice and the charisma to attract more people to the DA.
Yeah, and honestly, I have to say, when it comes to infantilizing the black voter, the ANC are the experts at that. All they do is they give you a T-shirt or a little sandwich at some rally, and they assume that you're going to vote for them. And really, the ANC has done nothing to make black voters feel any kind of confidence in their own ability to make decisions. That's why they say to them, don't worry, we'll give you social grants. We'll help you do this. We'll get you this. It's nothing's left up to you because you couldn't possibly handle it on your own. So, I mean, it's not just Helen who thinks that. Maybe there is a genuine patronizing attitude from politicians towards the average black voter. I don't believe that the average black voter is already decided. I don't believe that the average black voter in South Africa doesn't know what's going on. I think they're the people, especially the unemployed people in this country, they're the ones who will make the change, because when they do decide to raise their voices, when they've had enough, and trust me, 20 odd years of being used is going to make anybody feel like they've had enough at some point. Then they will make themselves heard, and that's when it's going to hurt the ANC.
Yeah, you know, the ANC saw what happened in 2016. They fear the specter of 2016. That's why people fear local government elections. They know that the South Africans, black South Africans, were able to kick them out of three important metros. It could happen again, even worse. You know, we should trust black South African voters. They do care hard for us. We have seen them take food product parcels from the ANC in KZN ahead of elections and going over to vote for the IFP. So we shouldn't underestimate that people are really frustrated, but they are looking for a home they can trust. It's the pain in South Africa and in black South Africa is that the only other time when the country wasn't governed by the ANC, it was a party. It was a very bad place for South Africans, for black people especially. So then they're unable to imagine a good South Africa that doesn't have an ANC hovering above it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not talking about, guys, not once have we spoken about Herman Mashaba? Why are we not talking about Herman Mashaba? Solly, what is Herman getting from his reputation and his party?
Go on. What do you think of that, Solly? Good question.
I think Herman Mashaba, look, he's a very courageous man. I like that about him. He goes straight towards the beast. You know, he says what he doesn't. He doesn't have the charisma. There's no doubt about it. But he's a very courageous guy, and he's unafraid because he has nothing to lose. He's got his money. He doesn't need to be in the job, as it were. But he's tasted power while he was in Johannesburg, and he started addressing some issues that should be addressed, especially what Johannesburg has become. The ANC has allowed Johannesburg to rot. I grew up in Johannesburg. I haven't lived there for a year. When I go to downtown Joburg today, I look over my shoulders all the time. Herman Mashaba is the kind of guy who, I don't know if he would be a very good president for South Africa, but we need him, we need his voice in our politics.
Why did you ask, Pums? Because I know you've got strong opinions about Herman Mashaba.
Well, because he was on Power to the Truth, I think, on ENCA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shocking for me. It was astounding how he was unable to articulate, and I say this on the show often, he was unable to articulate the policies of his party. Mm. You know, we talk about the fact that the average voter in South Africa is actually quite clued up about what's going on and who stands for what. The ANC may not have been able to deliver on what they say they stand for, but people at least know what the ANC says it stands for. And if you're unable, which is also one of the things that, you know, is the EFF's downfall, as well as, I suppose, to a lesser extent, the DA, is the fact that people are unable to articulate their policies. People are unable to articulate what it is that they stand for, other than the fact that they are anti-ANC. The ANC, on the other hand, whether they give you 350 rand to help you as a COVID stipend, or they have promises, you know, they promise a better life for all. They may not have delivered a better life for all, but they have promised a better life for all. You know, if you get your 350 rand, if you get your unemployment grant, if you get your children's grant, if you get those things, it looks like a better life. It looks like, oh, well, they're doing the best they can with the little that they have. But if you are unable to articulate what it is that the other guys stand for, then it's very difficult to vote for them, you know?
I think what attracts people to this ANC is not only what they promise. It's also the story, the fact of the matter, the ANC holds the story of the anti-apartheid liberation. You know, they can tell stories of who did what during apartheid in exile, the sacrifices that have been made. You know, they keep bringing up statues. Now they're promising to go and fetch the dead bodies of people who were buried in foreign lands. All those stories are romantic stories that remind people who the ANC is. And too many people forget the fall for the narrative, for the beautiful, heroic, clean, heroic stories and music and dance, and forget that actually many change.
And we forget.
The political romanticism around the ANC, that's keeping a lot of people captive.
I don't know.
We forget.
When I see Herman Mashaba, I see someone, I think he means well, but I just don't think he has the tools at his disposal to be convincing to enough people. And I mean that with you know, I agree with Solly's point that he's a courageous man, and I think he has an ability to do certain things, and certainly in business, I have a lot of respect for somebody who was able during the apartheid era as a black man to have built the huge business that he did and have made the success of himself that he did. I just get the impression that he's not a serious player when it comes to politics, and politics is not really about business, and business and politics don't always marry very well. And someone who's good at the one is not always good at the other. I mean, as Pumi says, you just, in politics, it's all about promising things. You don't have to deliver. In business, it's all about delivery and not necessarily about what you promise. I feel like he's the wrong guy to be looking for to be our savior. I think that we've got to decentralize this stuff. We've got to look at the local level. And it starts with your ward councillor. It starts with knowing who your representative is in your own municipality. Because that's where you'll get accountability, because you know where they live. And we've seen people in really poor neighborhoods who felt like they've been completely abandoned by their politicians. They go outside that person's house and they pressurize them until they get what they need. That's the only way we're going to get these politicians off their backsides. Don't you agree?
This is where have to be a little bit like the cult of self-improvement, right? The savior is not going to come from outside. We should not be looking for an external savior. You know, we should be the people that stand up and become our own savior. That is why local politics is important. And that is why you must get to know who the people are in your locality, in your municipality, in your council area. And if you can, have the courage to be a bit like Herman, you know, and stand up, put your hand up and say, I can do something. I can make a difference in my street, in my community, in my municipality, in my province, in my country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the mistake, you're absolutely correct for me and both of you. We idolize politicians in South Africa too much, maybe in Africa. We put them on a pedestal. When they come into the room, we stand up, we dance, we almost want to worship them. It should be the other way around. We should be putting those councillors against the wall, basically when we put pressure on them. When something is not working, call the local council. A lot of people don't know who the councillor is.
Let me just ask you this.
Or where they live.
You know, the people won't, though, because Pums, as much as you say this, and Sully, as much as you say this, you can't even get people who own their own property in a complex to stand for election to that complex's body corporate. People hate doing this stuff because it means extra time. It means time. It means responsibility. Much easier to just blame someone else. And as much as politicians irritate us, someone has to do that job. Now, if it's not going to be them, it's going to be you. And if you're not going to stand, then they're going to do it. I had a conversation.
Then we deserve it.
Exactly. I had a conversation with a neighbor of mine the other day, and he was saying to me he had to stand for chairman of the One Body Corporate because he owns an investment property there. And he said it's amazing. He could not persuade one other person at the meeting, and only about a quarter of the people even pitched for the meeting. He couldn't persuade one other person at the meeting to join him on the new board that they were trying to establish. This is the apathy that will lead to not only your investment in whatever it is that property is that you've got deteriorating in value, but in the community deteriorating in value. It's what is it going to take to get South Africans to activate their interest in making these things happen at the local level? We talk about activism, but what does it take? You've already been, you've had all the money stolen. That should be a reason. I mean, if someone came and robbed my bank, I would probably be very upset. In fact, I know I'd be very upset. But that doesn't seem to have upset us enough. We have no service delivery and infrastructure being built or maintained. Surely that would piss us off. But not even that can motivate people to go and stand for election. What is it going to take? Is it riots and looting? Is this the final straw? When are we going to get up and do something?
I think we don't have sufficient levels of civic education in South Africa. People don't understand how societies work, and this is a problem. So they don't know that actually they have so much power, not just the power in their vote, but the power to ask for the right things when politicians don't do what they're supposed to do, and to hold them accountable for the promises they made. We don't do that. People don't know that actually these people work for you. That's the problem. We need to get South Africans to understand that the power is in their hands. The power is in them understanding how the bylaws function, okay? What their rights are, how to go around demanding that things be done, that must be done by the local elected officials. People don't know that. People sit there and the same person who's giving them a hard time, when the person comes in, they dance with them. They are able to take selfies with them. Mm. And that's the problem. And politicians know that.
Do you think direct elections are going to be are going to make a difference? I mean, this is Musi Maimane's strategy, is in the direct election. And now that we've got Parliament still has to
have independent candidates,
figure out how it's going to happen, how it's going to work with independent candidates.
I think definitely. The ANC, if you look at how many times ANC, just look at the national parliament, how many times ANC parliamentarians were apparently forced, instructed to vote to defend Zuma when they should have kicked him out. They said, and a lot of them did say in public, that their party tells them what to do. They're not there to listen to you and me, okay? So once you have direct elections, people in there must listen to their constituents. If the person who's elected by the constituents goes in there and does anything that goes against the will of the constituents, they must be voted out. So one, you want those direct elections. Two, but you also want a more active, more knowledgeable, understanding constituency. You want people to understand that person is in there because of us, and this is what we want. If we decide to want A and they go to C for their own, friendships inside Parliament, we kick them out. The politicians now know that they're only beholden to the party, not to you and me.
There are so many comments here, Pumi, about you. Pumi is smarter than any ANC politician I have seen interviewed about our current circumstances.
Well, thank you, Michael. But everyone thinks I hate the DA. Yeah,
Graham says you hate the DA.
Graham thinks I hate the DA. By the way, two things are possible at the same time.
Yes.
You can disagree with the way people are without having to hate them. You can disagree with their strategy. You can disagree with their positioning. Doesn't mean you hate them.
There's time for only one last thing, and I hate
people think I hate the ANC, and I don't.
Yeah,
I'm just disappointed in the ANC. I don't hate them. I just feel like the phase is so dismal. I don't even know where to start. But I don't hate them. I just think it was just a big mistake for this time.
So, I do. I think the ANC hates us.
Yeah, they don't love us, for sure. They don't. Actually, they take us for granted. The ANC is that abusive lover who knows that each time he hits you again and you try to run out, he'll come back and say, but nobody else would love you the way I do. Yes, another 350 rands and you come back down.
It's
very abusive. They master the art of being abusive. That's what they do.
All right, so one last thing, because we've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I would be remiss to not let this come up again. It's something that is starting to become a bit of an obsession of mine, but Didi Mabuza, and someone brought up, I know, I'm sorry, guys. I know
he's coming back. The Russians have let him loose.
Is he coming
back? The Russians are sending him back to us. And I'm quite certain there'll be a press conference and he'll stand up in front of a press conference and show us that he has survived a poisoning. I, for one, cannot wait to see him at that press conference. I'm just going to look for signs of torture, of latent torture, because as you know, I think he's being tortured in a basement in the Kremlin right now.
What do you make of him? Yeah, go on, Sully.
He left just on time ahead of the looting sprees. Things have come down, he's returned. I mean, come on. At some point, we need to know what is it that he needed to be treated for in Russia that he cannot be treated for in South Africa. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I fear this man. You see, I already said there are three kinds of dogs. Okay, there's the dog that will bark and will bite you. And there's one that never, never barks, but it will bite you when you least expect it. He's that kind of dog. And there are those that never barks and that never bite.
Hmm.
Okay, but Mabuza, you better watch it.
So Mabuza is the dog that never barks. Hang on a second. I love this analogy. I'm just going to repeat it because Sully, it's very hard to hear you this morning.
He's the dog that never barks, but he bites hard.
Right. Okay.
And there are too many dogs in our communities which just bark all the time, but they never bite. And there are others that don't bite. They don't bark. Okay. You don't know what it stands.
Sorry, Pums, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I'm saying, do you think anybody is going to have the guts to ask Didi Mabuza when he does make a public appearance why he is becoming like most of the African dictators, where he cannot trust the health system of this country and needs to go so far away to get treated, and yet he thinks the people of this country need to trust the health system? Do you think anybody's going to have the guts to ask him that?
No. I don't think people will be scared to ask him the question. The question is, how will they respond to the question? We'll make a joke in Zulu and just treat it like, you know, in Africa, just relax. He's like that. There's this calm manner about him. He will do that. And people just like that, I think, or fear that. I don't know which one it is.
Well,
I don't think people will care to ask him the question. He will just give an answer that goes a different way, but there will not be a follow-up.
Carl DeSantis says, Russia can keep Didi. We don't need him back. On that note, I'm going to say that the best thing I've heard in this burning platform is Sully's comparison of the dogs that bark but don't bite, the dogs that never ever bark but then suddenly bite you, and the ones that bark never bite and keep on barking the whole time. We know exactly which kinds of politicians we're dealing with now, thanks to that analogy. Sully, it's good to have you on. I'm sorry we had issues with your sound again, but we'll sort that out for the next time we see you, and have an excellent week. Pumi Mashiho, thank you very much,
you,
as always, and we will see you tomorrow on cliffcentral.com. The Burning Platform returns next week, same time, same place. Make sure you don't miss it. It's brought to you by Nando's. Always fiery hot, and you can suggest anybody or anything that you'd like us to bring up on the Burning Platform the next time we have it, and we would welcome you with open arms, all your suggestions. Let us know what's going on, and you can do that, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m., bright and early. Cheers. Cliffcentral.com.